Good evening. Welcome to the first meeting of the San Jose Kabbalah Study Group. Over the next few weeks, you'll be given tools, information that you can choose to use or not, as the case may be. One of those tools, or two of those tools, I start every class with, but you don't have a background yet, so it'll be very strange. So I'm going to say some Hebrew letters and words just because it brings a positive energy into the environment. By the third week, you'll be doing it with me. Aleph et Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi, Ayin Bet, Kufay Shayin Sin Tet Nun, Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Tav Shin, Bet Tet Resh Tzadi Tav Gimel, Tet Kuf Bet Tet Nun Ayin, Yud Gimel Amet Pe Zayin Kuf, Shin Kuf Vav Tzadi Yud Tav. I'm going to read from the Zohar, just a quick short verse. Vayihinu Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kunameh Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kunamehu. Tzolat Zimin Biyoma Al Rucha Chada Bimarta Tzapelta Tzimashev Tzikavre Avachata Tzitzayan Kol Garmin Tzikaymei Tzikiyuma Tzahahu Rucha Maged Dala Milat Ela Meresha Dimalka Atar Dinishtach He Yavahan Ila E Kad Ma E Hahu Tala Minaihu Mitarin Avahan Diotata. Three times a day, a certain spirit comes into the cave of the Machpelah and breathes over the tombs of the fathers, so that their bones are healed and they endure. The spirit draws dew from over the king's head, Hachma, Bina, and Dat of Zeranpin, where the supernal patriarchs are. When the dew flows in, the lower patriarchs are awakened in the cave of the Machpelah. The cave of Machpelah is where the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their wives are buried, all except for the mother Rachel, who was buried on the road. That cave is also the entrance to the Garden of Eden. And what it's describing is, it's coded. So the concept of dew represents wisdom. And a dead body is a dead body, right? Except we have righteous people, what we call tzaddikim, and they're all religions have them, but their bodies do not deteriorate. And there's documentation during the Second World War of sages 400, 500, 600 years buried when they were dug up by the Nazis trying to loot the caves. The bodies were as if they died yesterday. There's no deterioration. And that's also part of what that verse is talking about. As I said, you don't have the background yet to understand a lot of what I'm saying. And that's okay. I will try and bring you slowly, step by step, to a lifetime study. Why is it a lifetime study? Because there's a reason why you and me, everybody, is in this world. Those questions have been asked by people for centuries, forever. And it's only through the wisdom of the Kabbalah that these questions are answered in a way that can be utilized as a practical experience in your life. I've been studying Kabbalah for 20 years. I've been teaching for 10. And as I said earlier, I've been doing the traveling teaching about 6 months. So before we go forward, does anybody have any questions? You'd asked one, and I will answer that. But I'd like to do it in some, you know, orderly fashion. Yes?
I'm sorry? It's
on
a stupid question.
There's no such thing as a stupid question.
Why why the people, the Jewish people, were the chosen one? Why not somebody else, like the Indians in America?
Let me give you a very specific answer. Chosen is a corrupt translation of the words Am Segula. The verse in Hebrew is Am Segula. Am Segula means people. Am is people or nation. Segula does not translate. There is no translation for it. It means the color purple. It means a vowel in the Hebrew alphabet that has three dots, two on top and one on the bottom. Forms like a triangle. So it's the people of the vowel. What is the vowel? It's a three-column system. You may be familiar with spirituality that came out of the East, yin and yang. Other forms of spirituality always speak in terms of male and female. They speak in terms of two columns. The Kabbalah will teach you a third column, which is a balance point between the two. But we'll talk about it at great length. But why were the Jewish people given this three-column system? Because Abraham revealed it as he was the first human being able to do that after the 10 generations between Adam and Noah, where the information was lost. Originally, everything was known at the moment of creation. But before I go down that path, we have to start. There may be people here who are not comfortable with the idea of a creator. I've taught scientists, I've taught people who have great difficulty with the concept of a creator. So, the point I want to make, the tools that I will be giving you over the next 20 weeks work whether you are comfortable with a creator or not. They work. But there's one rule in this class. Do not ever believe a word I say. Ever. I'm not here to prove anything to you. You will either prove it to yourself, or you'll decide this guy is crazy and get out of here. And either way is okay. Because the whole idea, let's talk about vocabulary. We all use the term, I believe in God, I believe the sun will rise in the morning. You believe the sun will rise in the morning? You believe it? You're sure?
Well, sometimes I don't even question. We just know it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. If I drop this to the floor, if I drop it, will it hit the floor?
Yes.
Is that belief or knowledge?
No.
What's belief based on knowledge?
It's belief based on experience. Knowledge is experience. But in the Torah, in the Bible, the first time that the word knowledge is used, it says, Adam knew Chava, his wife, and she became pregnant. So did you ever ask if they had sexual intercourse? Most of us don't. You assumed it. Most of us learn the Bible as children, and we don't even question it, and we never learn past that. As you said, it's something you just assume. But it actually is talking about something else. Yes, they did have sexual intercourse. And the Zohar does ask that question and answers it. They did have sexual intercourse. But it explains that the word knowledge, which is dot in Hebrew, means connection. Every word in the Bible is a code. And that code explains on many different levels, all of creation. Your names are in that Torah. You are described. What you are here to do is there for you. Everything is there. because the Bible, what we call the Torah, is the blueprint of creation. Does anybody build a building without a set of blueprints? Why do you think God created the universes if there is a creator? Why do you think that the universes were created without a blueprint? What the Kabbalists teach us is that the Torah, the Bible, is that blueprint. And everything that will ever be, was ever, everything is there. Every human being, every blade of grass is there. But it's coded. And it's coded for a very specific reason, which we'll talk about next week. Why? But let's understand the vocabulary that we use. I use English. I read Hebrew. I understand what I read. I choose not to speak Hebrew. The reason being because the letters themselves are very powerful. And they transfer energy. They transfer metaphysical concepts. They transfer the angel of death. They transfer the power of blessing, of happiness. How do I control that? So I'm careful. I don't want to say it to the people. Does it get transferred if I use it in English? Please go ahead.
Now, you mentioned the word. Now, the Bible mentioned about that God first thought, and then he said the word, let it be light.
The Bible doesn't say he had a thought.
No.
The Kabbalists teach us that there's nothing that happens without a thought.
Okay.
The Bible says, let there be light, and there was light. He spoke a word, but God doesn't have a mouth, so what does that mean? What did he speak? There's no atmosphere to vibrate the sound. So what does it mean? A thought? Excellent. That's what the Kabbalists say. They say he had a thought, and he manifested that thought. And that thought, he continues to manifest. The first word in the Torah is Bereshit. And you all know the translation. You've heard it 100,000 times. In the beginning. Except that's not the translation. It means in a beginning. What's the difference between the beginning and a beginning? There's more than one. Not only that, but every instant there's another one. So I'm going to make a statement to you that absolutely does not make logical sense. Because based on our senses, we can't see this. But the statement I'm going to make to you is, I create you. In my life, I'm creating you right now. If you are creating me at the same instant, and let's say that your creation of me is different than my creation of me. How do we balance that? That's what God does. He balances all of our different creations so they fit and formulate and appear as part of natural law. Have you ever seen anything that didn't go by natural law? Doesn't mean it doesn't. But let's say I decided there's going to be a miracle. There's going to be a thunder shower in the house. And she doesn't want to get all that water in here. How does it get balanced? I forgot that I wanted the thunder shower. That's what God creates. He changes. So that everything fits together. Yes.
Yes. Is it what is known in
science
as parallel universes?
Yes. We'll talk about that much more in the fifth class. Very, very much involved. means to receive. What am I to receive? Why would a mystical path be called reception? Because we have a creator, maybe, but the creator's essence is to share. The thought of creation was to share goodness. Look around the world. Does it look to be good? Does everybody have enough food? Okay. But the essence of our world does not appear to be good. And yet the sages tell us this is a perfectly just world. Taste God and see that he is good. That's a verse from Psalms. And everything I will teach you has a basis in that Torah somewhere, in that Bible somewhere. Taste God and see that he is good. We talked about the word light. Light a candle. Now take that candle and light another candle. Did the first candle dissipate, diminish? We now have two candles. We have more, but there's no diminishment of the first one. Take those two and light two more. Any diminishment? Do we have more light? Take those four, 8, 16, 100,000, 12 million. Do we have more light? Do we have any diminishment? That's why the Kabbalists don't use the word God. They use the word light. It's or in Hebrew. The gematria of the letters that spell the word or is 207. The same gematria of the word raz, which means secret. What is a secret? Something that's concealed. Light is concealed. The first day of creation, let there be light, and there was light. When was the sun and the moon made? Fourth day of creation. So what light are we talking about? We're talking about the light of fulfillment. The light of what gives us happiness. The light that makes us feel good. You have a lack, you're hungry. Have some food. Were you satisfied with the meal? Sure. How come you get hungry again? Ultimately, fulfillment should be forever. But we don't know how to receive it so that it lasts forever. That's what we will be learning. That's what Kabbalah means, to receive. Absolutely. The purpose of life is to ask them.
So, in your study,
we take one and pass it down, but turn it over so to speak. So you don't start until I tell you. Yes, go ahead.
In your study, have you been able to actually practice what you...
As the gentleman said, it's a process.
Oh.
But the answer to your question is I wouldn't be teaching it if I didn't know that it works. Do not believe a word I say, but I will ask you to do certain things. Some of them will not make sense.
Mm-hmm.
None of them will hurt you. But when they don't make sense, at the end of 3-4 months, you're going to look back and say, this works. I've proven it to myself. Or you're going to say, this guy is absolutely crazy. I'm not interested. Let me out of here.
And that's fine. But for you, have you proven it to
yourself? Oh, absolutely. It's not even a question anymore. Yep.
Okay.
I want to make a remark on that. There is a book out there that came out a couple of years ago called The Secret.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody read The Secret.
Yes.
I spent 40 years just to learn that. And then suddenly, when I got it, everybody knew it in a video. It's like, okay, so much work to learn about the secrets of the universe. In a book, you can buy it already anyway. So, but the difference is that I was able to learn how to manifest it. And the people who see the secret, they just think that it's a positive attitude video to motivate themselves.
People take from all spirituality and every aspect of spirituality. I don't care Buddhism, I don't care what religion, any spiritual path has truth. What resonates with you, what you choose to manifest in your life and learn to use the tools. In our generation, and we'll talk about this more next week, there's a reason why this information needs to be given to people today. That information is not an intellectual information. It's not read it in the book and feel good about yourself. There's millions of books that have been written like that. This is information how to manifest in your life a lack of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
How to remove chaos from your life. That's what I teach. But I don't do it for you. I can't. There were times in earlier generations where we could go to a guru. We called them rebbes in the Jewish religion. And the rebbe, you go to your rebbe, and what is a rebbe? Someone who goes into the spiritual world and fights your case. You wanted a child, can't have children, he fights your case. He proves, he makes sure that you can have children. And you had children. You need parnasa, you need sustenance, you need another job. Why did you lose it? There's a reason why you lost the job. There's a reason why you're in the frame of poorness in this world. He went and fought that battle for you. And you got parnasa. You had the illness. There's a reason why you have illness. And he went and fought that battle in the spiritual frame. And he blessed you. And it manifested in your life. We don't have these people anymore. There's a reason why these people are no longer accessible by us. You have to do it yourself. I can give you the tools. And I will give you the tools. What you do with it is up to you. Do not believe a word I say. Please try what I say and prove to yourself it works or it doesn't work. Please turn the paper over. Take 1 minute and count the number of F's on the page.
Higher page?
No, just the sentence, the main sentence.
Beyond.
Yeah. That's all right, I'm going to leave these papers for tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. How many think there are three?
I went to science, and I count.
How many think? Four?
Five.
Five?
Five.
Five? Anybody else? Five? Six?
I can't. It's four. Six?
Six? All right. Anybody else?
Wow, six!
There are six. There are six.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I
can see. No, I can't cheat, okay, because I'm already...
You didn't cheat. His English...
Online. I went online and I did the test. So I speak double that attention now.
Did you? That's because you have Virgo in your chart. Yes. The reason you counted six, you got it right, is because English is not your first language. And I don't mean to be offensive.
No.
Americans are taught to say of. Sounds like a V. It's not an F. And we don't count it. And as we read the page, as we count letters, it's a V. It's not an F. What does that? And it's all. It's universal. What does that? What aspect of ourselves does that? We call it the ego. The ego says, I know it's a V. Instead of the computer part of us would count the letters. But I know it's a V, so I don't have to do it. It's a waste of time, so I'm going to do it. You all had some aspect of that. Why? Because we have a tool called vision. But that vision comes upside down. And it causes the brain has to interpret it. Each step in that process, it grounds and looms with error. Our ego is our negative self. Our satan is the Hebrew word. But our ego is what makes me me. I don't want to give up me. And you're telling me my me is negative? What I'm saying to you is very simple. This world, the world of illusion. What you see is not true. Every one of our senses is designed for us to interpret illusion. What I touch is not real. Go over and touch the table. Is it a real table or is it a set of atoms? Smell. It's not real. Every sense, hearing, every sense is an illusion. It's designed to teach us and for us to perceive an illusion. Now, there's two sides of that. On one hand, if we actually saw what was around us, we'd die of fright. On the other hand, it's the only tool we have. Use your logic. Use your mind. Use your senses. But use them in a proper way. Recognize that there's an illusion.
When you say something about illusion, it reminds me of being in the world as of the world? Is there any connection to the
illusion? Again, the same thing. We'll turn it upside down. I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear the question.
It reminds me of being
I'm sorry, just the one.
In the world as opposed to the outer world? And is there any connection to that? The illusion?
The quick answer to that question is no, it's not the same.
I mean,
we live in four levels, four worlds at once. Five, actually. But we're not aware of it. Our job, ultimately, is to learn to be in all five of those worlds at the same time. To be conscious of them. We have an unconscious and a conscious.
Or subconscious.
Subconscious. Everything that happens in our world, in our life, we create. create it, you have the responsibility to have the effect of it. If you saw that by dropping this on the floor, 10,000 people would be killed in Guatemala, and you think that's not true, that's not possible, it's very real. By dropping this, I caused 10,000 people to be killed in Guatemala. Would I drop the phone? Trust me, I wouldn't drop the phone if 10,000 people. I don't want to pay the price of having to die 10,000 times.
Another question. First of all, all this rationale, knowing that you have the power to manifest what you want, and one day you are mad and you kill a lot of people. Who pays for it?
You do.
And another 17 lives,
I just said it. I don't want to have to die 10,000 times. Each one of those people that I killed, that I am the cause of killing, I also have to experience death to balance the universe.
I have so many questions.
So when I tell a story about somebody, I'll tell you a story about a sage. His name is the Huffet Chaim. He lived in Russia. The end of his life was around the time of the Russian Revolution. And he was having dinner in a tavern with another rabbi friend of his. And the waitress or the owner came over and asked how the food was. And the Prophet Chaim said, "It was good. I enjoyed it." And his friend said, "It was also good. I enjoyed it, but it was a little salty." The Prophet Chaim looked at him. The owner moved away, and the Prophet Chaim looked at him. "How could you say that? You just killed someone." "What do you mean I just killed someone?" "All I said was it was a little salty." "You come with me." And they went into the kitchen. The owner had gone to the cook and said, "The sage, the Prophet Chaim, said it's a little salty. How could you have made this food, the stew, so salty? You're fired." And the woman said, "It's said, this is the only job I have. I have 12 kids I have to support. How can you fire me? Because a man said something that maybe it's not even true?" She died. All 12 of those children starved to death that winter.
Mm-hmm.
Except that the Huffet Chaim stopped it and made sure that the woman was taken care of so that our words manifest. Every word we say, we don't see with our senses what it is saying and how it happens and how it affects the world. We call it Lashon Hara, evil speech. And it's all true. It's not gossip. It's not untruth. A woman goes up to another woman. "Your baby is so beautiful." No problem with those words. They're all true. Except that the woman thinking, "I want a child like that." That child has now been drawn to that first woman who made those words. That child has lost energy that will shorten its life because of what the woman said. All true. We have to learn how to behave. We have to learn the approach. I'm not saying that we do this. We all do it, and we're not horrible people because we do it. We do it. We just don't know it. We do it out of ignorance. We have to learn. Yes.
Is there any way to correct, to prevent, to stop? Once you do it, things are in motion. How can you stop?
A man came to one of the rabbis about 200 years ago, and he said, "I paid you back." The rabbi said, "You owe me 10,000 rubles. You didn't pay me back. I recorded everything. You know me. I'm an honest man. If you paid me back, I would have recorded it. You didn't pay me back. The man is a butcher in the town. Now the town thinks he's dishonest. The man loses his livelihood. Passover comes. The holiday of Pesach comes in the spring. Spring cleaning. The rabbi went through his books. And he found a 10,000 ruble note in his book. And he remembered that he was studying. And he was so concentrated on his studying that when the man came and gave it to him, he didn't really pay attention and he didn't report it. How does he go and correct it? The man's lost his livelihood. The man's wife has left him because he's a dishonest man. This man's children are starving because he can't earn a living. How does he make this up?
Okay, but if you perceived an injustice, what do you do? Knowing that
we will give you the answer over the 20 weeks. It's not a question that can be answered simply A, B, C, D, because everything is relative. But I'll give you one way to make it, another story. Man came to the rabbi. Rabbi, how do I make up for Lashon Hara, for this evil speech? I said something. I realized I was wrong. How do I do tshuva? How do I do repentance? Rabbi said, go to these people and say, you're sorry. So he went to all of the people who heard him say it and corrected it. He went back to the rabbi. Rabbi, I did everything you said. Have I corrected it? Not quite yet. Go to the next town. So some people might have heard it over there. And go tell him that. So he was there. Comes back. Rabbi, I went to the next town. Have I corrected it? I'll tell you what. Take this pillow. This down feathered pillow and go up on the roof and throw it into the wind. Let the wind blow the feathers all over and then come see me. The man does what his rabbi says. He goes up on the roof of the synagogue, he opens the pillow and he throws all the feathers out. He comes back to the rabbi. Have I done it now? Have I cleansed it now? And I said, no, go pick up the feathers. There are ways, but it's as difficult as picking up the feathers. Better not to say it, but we all do it. The difference is that we will become aware through the tools that you don't do it anymore. Let's turn the page over and count the number of F's. You all should get it 100% right because you know the answer. Our ego. anti-Semitically. That's an explanation that has nothing to do with cause and effect. Why do we spell phonetically? Because the ego doesn't want to take the time to count. He's lazy. Each and every one of us have a lazy ego.
Wait a minute. I sat here and counted twice.
Yes, and you got it wrong.
Twice.
And you got it right because you have Virgo in your chart.
I'm sorry.
Because nobody ever gets it right who speaks English as a first language without having Virgo in your chart. It can't be. Because the reason you're a Virgo is you were given a tool of details to be able to see details. You cannot see a picture. You cannot see the forest. You can see the trees. This is the tool you were given to achieve your correction in this life. And we all have corrections. Based on our chart, much can be told. There's 12 planets. 12 planets. 12 houses, 12 planets. I shouldn't say that there's only 9. And there's actually only 7 planets, because the other 3 don't count. And one is there's an argument whether Pluto is a planet.
That's right.
The bottom line, 2 things I want to say to you. And I'm just checking time. The purpose of this class is to give you some basic information. And the basic thing you should take from this class is this world is an illusion. And the only way you're ever going to see the full truth is to look past the illusion. We have, and everybody knows it, it's called natural law. This world operates on natural law, correct? Nobody can argue with me. Natural law works. It never breaks. Can't go faster than the speed of light. The tree falls in the forest, it fell. Whether somebody heard it or not, it fell. Correct? Natural law. Cause and effect. Natural law says the tree fell in the forest only if somebody heard it. If nobody heard it, it didn't fall. Kabbalah, the sages, these righteous people that I spoke about going back 5,000 years or 15 billion, depending on how you want to measure time. They were taught one thing, many things. But one thing in particular, God created the 6 days of creation, the 7th day being Shabbat, and he created the plants and the animals and the sun and the moon and the stars and all of these amazing systems. None of them worked until Adam was created. And Adam asked him to. It says Adam named the animal. When he gave it the name, he was asking for rain. That's when the plants grew, because the rain. Now, this is a midrash. A story that's not written in the Torah itself, but it's part of the oral law, part of the oral tradition. It teaches us exactly what science is teaching today. The tree falls in the woods, but nobody's there to hear it. Nothing happens. This has been taught for 3,500 years. Actually 5,000. Actually 15 billion. But depends on how you want it. Now I'm going to really freak you out. We have natural law. We all agree there's something called natural law. It's not a cause. If I throw a baseball at a window, trust me, the window will break. What's the cause of the window breaking? Me throwing the baseball, right? But in photography, the window breaks before the ball gets there. An instant before the ball hits the window, before the air pressure could cause the window to break, the window starts to break. Proven technically, it's proven photographically. Because cause is always spiritual. Physicality is an effect. Don't believe a word I said. One final test, which you can either make me...
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Oh.
Let me finish this one statement.
Sure. Okay.
I'm going to pass these out. You can either make me give you the solution to this tonight, or you can wait till next Sunday, and I will give you the solution then.
Mm-hmm.
What you take from this class, is an illusion, and that your senses are designed for you to see that illusion and to confuse you with that illusion. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, cool. So, before a person even has a physical element, or a physical being, Their
aura is first affected,
and then the disease actually
manifests. They have the disease in their spiritual level first.
Right. So is that similar to that fall?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Except that why does the disease manifest at the spiritual level? What spiritual action did you do that caused the disease to manifest at the spiritual level? And then after a little bit of time, cause and effect, we'll talk about what time is. After a little bit of time, what happens in the spiritual happens in the... So, in my life, I've had a heart attack and I've had colon cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I did spiritual work for both. Heart attacks come from anger.
Mm-hmm.
Colon cancer comes from not separating properly between mundane and holy things, whatever that means. I did spiritual work. I did tshuva. I corrected those actions.
Right.
I don't have colon cancer. I did not need radiation. I did not need chemotherapy. And I really didn't need the operation, except that my children are not following yet my path.
Right.
And therefore, it would have caused them too much pain for me to say to them, the cancer's gone. I know that's true, because I did the spiritual work. But they were not on a level. They would have still felt the pain. They would have been nervous. They would have been concerned. So I went through the operation. I have a heart disease.
Right.
I take pills for the heart disease. I live in a time, in a technological society that provides amazing, amazing technology for medicine. I take advantage of that. Could I do it and heal my heart? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But again, my children would be uncomfortable that
right.
I don't take the pill.
Well, do you do it simultaneously then?
Do I do what simultaneously?
Taking the spiritual work.
Yes. Yes. Because what ego says, I've done the work, versus what ego says, I still have more to do. As long as I'm still in the physical world, I have more spiritual work to do. Yes.
And just giving it all to everybody is not enough.
I'm sorry?
Just giving it all to everyone is not enough, or we have to go.
There are people who teach just giving love is enough. How do you don't love yourself.
What about if I love myself, but I want to eat more so that I can...
Can you give something that you haven't received?
I don't know.
The light can give because it's endless.
Right.
We'll talk about the endless world next week. The light can give because it is endless. Are we endless? We're limited. Our bodies are limited. Our soul is part of God. But that's a whole discussion that we don't have time for tonight. Does anybody have any questions? Yes?
When we first started talking about Hebrew, we don't speak in Hebrew because it has too much power, so when you speak in English, but then you didn't understand what you wanted to say about whether the English has the same power.
English also has the same power. But it's lessened. It's transformed down. So if I say the word la, la 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 la, that has a power. What is it? What is that sound manifest in Hebrew? The power comes from my consciousness. What am I doing? I'm happy. I'm singing. So it's transformed down. It's not the same. The Hebrew letters, in and of themselves, were designed to transfer energy. They were designed by the Creator to transfer energy. So whether I have the consciousness or not, my consciousness will add to it, but it transfers whether I think about it or not. Thought of creation.
Transformed from the Creator to the Spirit, and the English language is just more than a compilation of what works for people on the earth.
There's a story in the Torah called The Tower of Babel. You're familiar with it, it's going to the great school. Tower of Babel said, the people tried to build the tower to get to heaven to contest with God. What did God do? He came down and he confused the languages. It says we spoke one language. That language, based on gematria, the sages teach us, that language was the Hebrew language. The language that's spoken in heaven is the Hebrew language. You've all read and heard stories of the grays and the blues, and people have been abducted. You've all heard these stories. They speak a language. They didn't know what they were saying. Sometimes they would talk directly into their minds. Usually there was a language, and language is speak. It's a dialect, people. It's been changed over the centuries. But those children, according to the Zohar, those blooms and those grays live in different inner earths, different dimensions. Everything is in the Torah. Everything is there. The tools are there for us to use. They've been concealed for a reason, and we'll talk about that next week.
I was just thinking something, it's a region of life here.
God is a member of the mafia. He needs many aliens.
But it's just a symbol. Actually, it's a vibration that has a meaning.
Yes.
It's a vibration that God created for us to communicate, right? So imagine the vibrations of the words that have vibration is the one thing.
I'll just suggest to you, in outer space, is there something that the vibration with? There's no atmosphere. So would God create something that works on vibration only in this world and not be able to communicate with the angels in the outer world?
Life can exist anywhere, right? in black holes, but I imagine it would last longer than vacuum.
When science understands what creates black holes, then then we will have some truth. Right now, they just they're playing around with it. But black holes are basically created by man's negative action. Man has a desire to receive for oneself alone. He's selfish. When Adam sinned, whatever the sin is, it speaks about eating and taking into oneself something. What that is a desire to receive for oneself alone. Selfishness.
See,
I'm sorry?
That's the basis of evil.
That's the basis of evil is selfishness. And that's what Kabbalah will teach next week and the coming. Yet changing that from a desire for oneself alone, selfish, into a desire to receive in order to share, that transformation breaks apart.
Are those black holes existing internally in human beings as well?
Why does cancer appear to be black in the texture? The answer is yes.
Well, this is what I feel. Okay, this is no, I believe it's something that I perceive out of my logic. God sends very special people to Earth. Very smart, with a mission of distributing the supplies and the goods evenly, or at least fairly. But how come they get so greedy and they start taking and taking and giving nothing back? Is it an ego or is it, what is it?
Before I answer your question, let me tell you one other thing. These classes are free. We live in a society that says my bills have to be paid. So please donate. You can donate through PayPal. You can donate cash on the table over there. You can send me a check. No one is turned away for lack of a donation. It's whatever is appropriate. To answer your question, Cain killed Abel. Why did Cain kill Abel?
Anger?
He was angry and he was envious that God didn't accept his sacrifice. That's what the Bible says. The Midrash says Abel was born with two twin wives that he married, two twin sisters that he married. Because in that generation, the wives, the soulmates were born with the family. Abel had two, he had the potential to grow more than Cain. Cain was jealous of that as well, not just the sacrifice. Okay, so Cain killed out of jealousy. But Kabbalah teaches that nobody dies that doesn't have a cause, that he did. So what did Abel do that caused him to die? Why did he have to die? Cain didn't have to be the channel for his death. He was the channel, and now he has to pay for it. He has to accept it. He has to balance it in the universe. But why did Abel have to die? And the answer is very simply. In the Torah, it says that Abel also brought a sacrifice. It was second thought. He brought the best of what he had, and so it was accepted, but it was a second thought. It wasn't his primary motivation. Abel came into this world and got enamored with the physicality, with the pleasures of the physical world. This is a beautiful world. This is an amazingly pleasurable place. That's the world that we live in. We get attracted to those pleasures. That attraction is what causes people to make those decisions. You have to learn how to protect yourself and how to achieve those pleasures in a balanced way so that it doesn't
with the world we stay on. So it's not necessarily, oh, of course it's your own.
Let me put it on a very simple level. You cannot change the world, but you can change yourself. And when you change yourself,
mm-hmm.
the world changes.
Will it?
Guaranteed. But don't believe a word I say. Any other questions?
Just real quick, when we play God, let's say, imagine that we all have powers to manifest the future we want. And you're not an alien. You love everyone. And then somebody and it slapped you in the face. You knowing you have all this power on you. And this person is publicly humiliating you,
mm-hmm.
speaking you, and only that, making you, kind of making your family go through the same thing. And this moment, a moment of revenge, and knowing that
this is paper you take home.
A person can, we can destroy. We can destroy that person. We can bring down to his knees and us, and then we do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, it's another cycle of pleasure and
pleasure and
guilt. And where do we stop?
The Kabbalist, when somebody embarrasses him. I have to experience this pain, this humiliation, this horrible feeling that I feel. I have to do that as part of my cleansing, part of my correction, part of my balancing of the universe. Thank you very much. Give me more. Do it again. Help me choose that. I stepped on your foot. I turn back to you. I say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I hurt you. What do you say? Okay, it's nothing. It's not a major issue. No life, no harm, no foul, right? My teacher says, I won't forgive you. I had to feel the pain. You didn't have to be the channel for my pain. I won't forgive you. Now let's take it even one step further. I'm sorry that I caused you to be the channel for my pain.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different level.
Yeah.
Different levels. Nobody expects people to reach that level. It is very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult to say it to somebody, let alone watch his face when you say it to him. What kind of crazy person is this? In my own life, I'm sitting praying in the synagogue, and my roommate comes dragging in somebody and says, he just threw a rock through your living room window, and he tried to rob you. What are you going to do about it? We all live in a society that has theft, right? We all live in a society that, what are you going to do about it? I took him home, I gave him a shower, let him take a shower and clean up, and he went out to lunch. And I talked about Kabbalah and offered him tools so that he would understand that that was not the answer for him. There was a better way. What did he do? I don't know. He didn't call me again. My roommate was so incensed that he was attacking him that he wanted to steal from us, that he went through the chaos of calling the police and having the guy arrested and going to court and doing all of this. I don't know what happened. I know that when I faced the man, I was doing what was sharing, because that's the rule that I understand the universe operates from. Not because I love him, but because I want to receive in a balanced way. And the only way I can do that is by sharing.
Mm-hmm.
very fine line. You're not going to get it in the first time. It's a lifetime study. I'm still working on it. But we have many examples in our life. You have a fruit, a tree that buds. You taste that. Is it bitter or is it sweet? Bitter. It's green. It's horrible. And every day, it's still bitter up until it becomes a sweet fruit. That's process. We live in a world of process. The ultimate goal, the prophecies tell us what it's going to be. The lion will lie down with the lamb. Everybody will be fulfilled. There will be no pain, no suffering, no... Can we have it today? Yes. You have to learn how to use the tool.
Why does it need to be a process? How come it can't just, like, and then, you know, it's there?
I will give you that answer next week.
Okay.
It's a very honest question, and it's a very real question. And my answer will be just as real. But there's a reason why it has to be delayed. Because it's part of the overall understanding of why you're in this. Taking out a sequence, it will not have the impact that it needs to have. I didn't skip it. I said, if you want me to give the answer, I will, or I'll give it to you next week. It's up to you. How many of you want immediate gratification, and how many of you are willing to wait? Most classes don't wait. So if you don't want to wait, it's fine.
What we're going to do? We want arms today? No, I'm repeating what you said, but what is what we decide?
I already know the answer.
But if you know the answer, then show it to them. Please. If you know the answer, then there's no reason for them to wait.
You know the answer?
Well, I saw somebody doing it, but I don't remember nothing.
Let's talk about it next week.
All right.
Oh, but we'll have so much
more to talk about. That's all right. One other point. The next class is titled World History, or what happened before the Big Bang. The third class, you will need to print out from the website. It's a page called the Onomatopoeia. I will bring another one that's easier to follow if I remember to do it. But I don't like to print out pages and pages and then not have people show up. So if you're going to come to the third class, please print out the Onomatopoeia. The fourth class also has a printout. There's actually three printouts for that. Other than that, you don't need any printouts. Every class is just your mind, and then there are printouts on the website that you can look that out. Good night.
You want to do it in the end?